You're muted, Bart.
Go ahead. I'd love to talk about it.
Okay. So, Lori, my first comment is just this: in terms of the rulemaking issue, rulemaking process. That's a better word. We obviously can investigate that, knowing that at any point through GERB or anybody else, obviously as we've discussed in the past, could hit a hiccup along the way. We don't anticipate that by any means, but being aware of that, we do have the availability of doing such a thing. My curiosity is rung up by, I'm assuming, that you, as well as your other individuals who have interest in doing this, have discussed the CE requirements and or annual training or all that type of stuff. Can you give the board an indication as to what, if anything, has been discussed related to that as it relates to ground needling and the practice of for athletic trainers?
And Ms. White, would you state your name and title with the association for the record?
Sure. This is Lori White. I am one of the government deliver committee's chair person for the Arizona Athletic Trainers Association. So, Eric, your question was what kind of training, or what? Say your question again, please.
Okay, sure. So, I'm just making an assumption, so correct me if I'm wrong, by all means. Has there been any discussion through the Governmental Affairs Committee or the individual and or the individuals wishing to make this process happen for rulemaking in terms of CE requirements, specific training hours, specific training classes, anything along those lines as it relates specifically to dry needling?
Yes, we would pattern directly exactly from what the physical therapists also require. As our studies, the one study that was provided to our board pointed out that in the education preparation for athletic trainers, that we have all of the foundational education equivalent, actually even more so, there's two or more standards that were more so that match the physical therapist. So basically what has to occur would be with that foundational knowledge, a person would have to go get an additional certificate for dry needling, which usually includes about a 25-hour practical course in all of the techniques and all of the technique involved.
Okay. Is that a one-time course, or is that a continuing education every 2 years?
That should be a one-time course, but I'm not sure that it is a renewable certificate that has usually. So, like, if somebody else got a certificate in a STEM or other such extra practices, like using soft tissue mobilization using tools, that's usually a one-time thing. So I'm trying to make that equivalent with that. So I'm not sure what is it that you're...
Well, I guess I'm going to piggyback on that just a little bit in terms of, so let's just say the example that you just used in terms of, using tools for soft tissue mobilization, that type of stuff, the one-time certification.
Right.
And I don't have that certification, so you're educating me, hopefully, as we go here. Is there a requirement for CEs related specifically to that particular certificate in the two-year time frame for an athletic trainer? Do they have to take CEs related to that specific technique?
No, I mean, that's not a required thing. So if you,
okay.
I mean, athletic trainers are certainly able to do that. Within our CEU requirements, that is something a person can continue.
Absolutely.
Doing. And there are other facets of fine needling that are advanced that they can continue to do that. But a basic dry needling course would entail mostly extremity work, and there are other dry needling courses as well.
Okay. Thank you. That was a very good answer. I appreciate it. I just, like I said, you're educating me on that as well, so thank you.
Ms. Wade, did you, when you said that this would be exactly what physical therapists require, are you saying the templates that the physical therapists have were using as our template? Do you have any other feedback to us after reviewing that template of what presented today? Review?
I'm sorry, I'm not sure what you're asking. So the template, the rules writing template that we patterned after the physical therapist, which Karen, I would assume, disseminated to you. You're asking about a specific piece of that template?
No, I'm asking if you have any other feedback relative to that.
Feedback from different groups or feedback from whom?
From the association or even yourself.
Yeah, so the association is in support of this. Obviously, we're trying to do this through statute, and that was going well. So we did not have any we did not have anybody that was opposing that from either we spoke to and lobbied the acupuncturists. And the physical therapists were in support of it, and they have voiced that. So the Physical Therapy Association of Arizona has supported our use of this modality and felt like that was certainly an appropriate thing for us to do with our education and training. So, and the association would want this. They were in support of us pursuing this in our past legislative activities. And the reason we have changed our tack is due to just because COVID changed everything. We were sailing through committees. We were very close to the end of having this. So all of the information that we provided to the legislators and to other stakeholder groups, there was nobody that felt like this was a concern or this was something that athletic trainers should not be able to do. So the reasoning for this other, you know, mechanism to get this done was just something that our lobbyists saw and thought it would be appropriate and talked to various stakeholders in the governor's office. And the governor's philosophy is also consistent with this type of approach, is that people should be trained to be able to do what they are trained and educated to do. So the people will go out and get the appropriate education and training and present that education and training to the board as part of their ability to demonstrate that they are able to do this modality. And if you look at our statute, it mentions modalities of all different types, heat and light and sound and et cetera. So this is just a newer modality that's come online that athletic trainers are practicing all over the country, and many other states allow them, five other states allow them to do it at this time. So I'm not sure what you mean by feedback. I mean, the feedback is positive. People want to be able to do this. The state association members are excited about this. There are people that move in from other states that already have this. So if they came here and then suddenly weren't able to provide this for their patients, that would not be a good thing. And I don't think the governor's office likes when regulations of our state are preventing people from doing things that they are educated and trained to do. And I wish Chuck was on the call, too, because I know that we had quite a bit of feedback from the baseball athletic trainers to be able to do such a thing, for spring training, and to help their patients. So this is something that we're hoping is available to help our patients as we continue to practice, and this is a new modality available to us.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other comment or questions? I will take that as a no. Okay. In terms of the verbiage on number 9, you know, just say review consideration possible action whether to include the practice of dry needling through the rulemaking practice process. So that may include discussion possible action potential to rulemaking language. So I would make a motion to start the process of rulemaking as it relates to the process of including dry needling into our rulemaking rules in general.
So your motion is to begin the process? Is that
that is correct? That is correct.
Okay.
Cheryl, I second.
Bart, I third.
Okay. It has been moved and seconded to move forward through the decision on making a basically rulemaking process related to dry needling. Excuse me. All those in favor?
Eric Fried?
Aye.
Cheryl Ingram?
Aye.
Bart Peterson?
Aye.
Jennifer Fadley?
Aye.
Bachman is absent.
Hearing no oppositions, that motion has passed. Obviously, that process is, I wouldn't say incredibly extensive, but it's quite intricate, so we will continue to follow through with that process, obviously, between the board and the board staff in terms of getting that language put together. My question related to that would be, whose responsibility is it, just so I'm aware, I think I know the answer to it, but I'm going to say it anyways, whose responsibility is it to come up with the rule verbiage?
This is Lori. I believe that's Karen's responsibility. Karen already did some editing of the rule and looked at the therapy rule. She's also been going through the rules as they exist for training to see if she can change anything. We have provided some templates and some of the work that the state association has come up with, and are trying to assist her and give her some ideas of that. But it's ultimately Karen's responsibility, and I hope that she appreciates our input and will seek it if she has any other thoughts. But she's already done some excellent preliminary work to get this going, and we did put our 2 cents in, but she's already well on her way to having an excellent version to be able to present to GRRC as you move through this process.
Okay. Karen, do you feel the same? I mean, I have no reason to doubt Lori whatsoever, but do you feel the same, that process
yes.
that you're going through has been quite beneficial?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
So this is Bart, and I'm like Eric, I want to make sure that I have the information for myself. Once the language is approved by the board, we would forward it to GRRC. Once GRRC approves it, it would go to the review session, the review part where there's like a 30, 60, 90-day review area for member or for public comment. Is that correct?
I'm not sure. I know the first thing that has to happen is we have to get an exemption from the rulemaking moratorium
right.
from the governor's office.
Right.
This actually ties into the next agenda item. So should we move on to the next agenda item and then we can speak more generally about the rulemaking process?
Absolutely. Does anybody have anything else just briefly to mention on number nine?
No. This is Lori. I would be happy to straddle number 9 and 10, is that we have been lobbying the governor's office in order to maybe lift that rule-making moratorium. We've had many people write in, and so I'm hoping that might be an easy process. So I don't know if you... We're happy to assist in that. If you feel like there's anything that happens when Karen's going forward at this, if Karen hits any roadblocks and needs assistance and voices of the state association to reach out and try to facilitate that, we're certainly available. So I guess that's both for 9 and 10.
Okay. Thank you, Lori.
Yeah.
All right. So number 10, review, discussion, possible action, board business, and reports. Go ahead, Karen.
Okay, item number 10A, and the update on the rulemaking exemption request. I included in your board meeting materials the draft document that shows several rules that we would like to remove related to definitions because they refer to a definition that is nowhere else in our rules or statutes. And those ideas came from the association, so I really appreciate that, and I'm sure the governor's office does as well, because any outdated information in our rules should be removed. There is also updating of the address and information about the BOC and NATA. There are fee changes, and there are quite a few changes. I don't know if you had an opportunity to look through the document. But like I had mentioned before, these changes are not set in stone. They're just a starting point. So I did send that document to the governor's office, I think about a week and a half ago. I haven't heard anything back yet. But that's the first step. Once we get that approval, and hopefully we get approval to make all of those changes from the governor's office, I'll open a docket with FERC. And from there, I don't know what the timing is, but, you know, I'll have to become very familiar with the process very soon.
Okay.
Any questions about that?
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay, item 10B, the open board member position. I received, I checked in with Trista Guzman-Glover from the Governor's Office of Boards and Commissions last week, and she said that she had interviewed for the occupational therapy positions, and she was going, and athletic training was next on her list.
Whatever that means.
Yeah. So mid-September is obviously not happening.
Obviously, yeah.
But, you know, fortunately, I believe we only have one position open, right?
Correct.
You've all been reappointed, and we're just trying to get a replacement for Ms. Fadley, who has so generously given her time for so many years.
Yeah, right? Thank you, Jennifer.
Right? It's been like, I'm like a five-year appointment. I think my kids are in college now.
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions about that?
No.
Nope.
Okay. Then moving on to 10C, the executive director's report. No actions required on any of these. Number one, the financial report. I included what I was given by the Central Service Bureau last week after I asked if I was ever going to get my financial reports again. And so those are included in your materials, and as you can see, they are completely different from what we were getting in the past. So I need to meet with them and tell them, you know, basically we're paying for this service to get these reports. I think it's no later than 10 or 15 days after the close of the month. So we need them to step up. They just had somebody start today that would be generating those reports, so hopefully they'll be better about it in the future. But from what I did see in there, we really haven't spent any money except employee-related expenses and payroll. So we're doing very well so far. We haven't been charged for our Salesforce and basic gov licenses, and that's quite a chunk of money. So We don't have quite as much as it looks like, but we're still okay. Okay, item 10C2, review of recent board staff activities. We continue to work at home. I've been contemplating getting some kind of a schedule coming into the office. However, with the election coming up, I really don't think it's a good time for us to be in this area right across the street from the Capitol where protests happen. So we'll have to work something out. But, you know, I'll continue to come in once a week or once every 10 days, depending on what's needed. And then we'll probably look at maybe the beginning of the year getting a set schedule. But, you know, everything's still going great. Amber's keeping up with all of the renewals and initial applications. She's helping Vicki out still, and it's going really well. We have our we have daily huddles, Vicki, Amber, and I do. So we make sure we stay in contact with each other, and we all always have a list of questions for each other. So it's working out pretty well. Okay, item 10C3, we already talked about the open public board member position. That was a duplicate.
Yep.
10C4, statistics. We have 865 current licensees. That, I think, is just one different than it was last month. Five active consent agreements with the next item due on December 4th, 2020, and four open investigations. Item 10D, administrative project status. Number one is policies and procedures. Number two, CE broker implementation. I have not worked on those in the past month.
All right. Number 11, future agenda items. Please continue to keep the open board member seat on there. Anybody else have anything, anyone else have anything that they would like to present for future board meetings? Hearing none. Okay. Before we adjourn, I would just like to thank both Karen, Sabrina, and Amber for your continued work. Obviously, in this incredibly unusual time, and I appreciate all the work that you're doing at home and all that type of stuff, so you keep us running appropriately. So thank you very much
for
that.
And that's the ditto, for sure.
Yeah. Okay, we do, as I'm looking on here, we still have two public on here, so call the public. If anybody wants to say anything, please introduce yourself prior to doing so.
This is Lori White again, Mr. Chair, members of the board. I just want to thank you for your time today and your consideration of our request and having the motion passed to go forward with that process. We appreciate that.
Thank you, Lori. Nobody else. Okay, I would make a motion to adjourn as of 10:28 a.m.
This is Bart. I'll second.
Been moved and seconded to adjourn the meeting as of 10:28 a.m. All those in favor?
Eric Fries.
Aye.
Cheryl Ingram.
Aye.
Bart Peterson.
Aye. I just making you wait for just a second.
Jennifer Fadley.
Aye.
And Chuck Buffman's absent.
Hearing no oppositions, we are adjourned.
All right.
Thanks, everybody.